Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Is ISIS behind the rise in school shootings? Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist, and you are a terrorist therapist. Yes, is ISIS behind the rise in school shootings? Well, you will hear why I am making this outlandish remark by the end of this show. First, we're going to talk about the rise in school shootings. You know, ever since the November 30th, 2021, shooting by Ethan Crumbly in Michigan, the Oxford High School shooting, which I talked about in my last podcast. So if you missed that, do check that out. And for more details about that particular school shooting, because I'm not going to get into that in detail again today, but I'm going to talk about what has happened since then in terms of it spawning other school, wannabe school shooters. There has not been yet, at least at the time that I'm recording this, there has not been an actual school shooting since Ethan Crumbly, but there have been an unbelievable number of wannabe school shooters who have been arrested and charged with terrorism. And, you know, these threats narrowly averted. So first I'm going to tell you about that. Then in the second segment, I'm going to talk about why. Why is all this happening? And then last but not least, in the third segment, I'm going to talk to you about this whole question of what is terrorism? Is terrorism just something caused by radical Islamists? Is terrorism something caused by school shooters, looters, rioters? What is the definition? How does it serve us best to have a particular definition of terrorism? So let's start with this rise in school shooters, wannabe school shooters that have happened since Ethan Crumbly. Now, it always happens that after there's a school shooting or after there's a particular kind of crime, notably a violent crime, there are copycats. People see how much attention this first person got, and they want the same. They want attention for themselves, and it seems cool, you know. And so, for various reasons, we have now had a spate. And my prediction is, by the way, here you have heard it here first. My prediction is. Actually, I've been saying this since Ethan Crumbly, that there will be, and before I knew about these other wannabe school shooters, there will be an increase in school shooters over the next year at least. And we're going to get into why that is, but it is a little shocking to see how quickly there have been these copycats, again, wannabes. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you about three states where there have been these instances of these wannabe school shooters who have been caught and arrested and charged with terrorism. And the states are Michigan, of course, that's the one that has the predominant number of copycats, then Pennsylvania, and then Tennessee. It's all over the U.S., and I'm sure there will be more. Hopefully of wannabes that will be caught, not all of them will be caught, just like not all terrorists get caught before the act. Okay, so let's start with Michigan. From Flint, Michigan, there have been 7 local middle school and high school students that have been charged after they made threats to shoot up schools. So they're talking about 7. And they're charged with the crime of false report, or threat of terrorism. Then some of the students also are facing charges of using a computer to commit a crime and intentional threat to commit an act of violence against a school. So now in Michigan, again, that's where the school shooter, Ethan Crumbly, was charged with terrorism. In Michigan, every state has different rules. There is no federal rule or law against terrorism per se, but different states have different rules in regard to terrorism. So in Michigan, you know, that's why Ethan Crumbly was charged with terrorism, because their laws do allow that for what he did. In Michigan, the terrorism and computer charges each carry a potential sentence of up to 20 years in prison. So these kids who are making these threats didn't even shoot anybody, could face 20 years in prison. So, and other shocking things, the first copycat in Michigan was a girl. There are other girls too. I mean, it shouldn't be that shocking, since girls have gotten their, become equal, or not 100% equal, but have gotten to be, to make up a greater percentage of people in prison, of adults in prison. Women have been making up a greater percentage than they did before. So in each year, women make up an increasingly greater percentage. So in a way, it's not a shock that the school shooters would start to be girls. So this is a girl who is 17 years old, from Flint Southwestern Classical Academy, which sounds kind of fancy. And she was charged after making a rap video. And she said in this rap video, some of the lyrics were, she was going to shoot up a school, quote, like Oxford, unquote. And since that time, that was the first in Michigan, since that time, there have been six others who have been charged. Most involved threats on social media or verbal threats. And then there are six other incidents that are still being investigated. So since the November 30th shooting at Oxford by Ethan Crumbly, there have been many vague threats to flooding social media, copycat threats. But the authorities are taking these threats almost as seriously as really someone going through with it and shooting up a school. Now, another area in Genesee County, Michigan, two 12-year-old girls, 12 years old, are now accused, or were arrested, and because of making threats to Bendel Schools and Armstrong Middle School. And they made a threat on Friday, December 3rd, and they said that a shooting was going to happen on Monday, December 6th. So they received these threats through a voicemail that the police department did. And then parents were contacted, and classes continued through the day, but they made additional precautions, such as securing the doors and barring visitors. So these two 12-year-old female Bengal students made the threats. The authorities decided or determined that there were there was no known way for them to carry out the threats. The authorities said, quote, the students made the threats because they thought it was funny and wanted the schools to close. But even though they didn't have the ability to carry out the threats, at least so far that they've determined, they did terrorize and instill fear across two communities. So both of the girls were taken into custody, and they're at the juvenile detention center pending charges. Overreaction? Well, clearly these girls need help. All right, then another one in Michigan, another example, in Owosso. A former Owosso student faces terrorism charge for threatening to shoot up high school. This is a boy. He has been formally charged after threatening on social media to shoot up a school. He faces felony charges of false report or threat of terrorism for a threat made over social media regarding Owosso High School. And he did this on Saturday, December 4th. So we have December 3rd, December 4th. I mean, you know, these are all, and the other ones were before that, some of them. So these are all threats right after the November 30th Oxford real school shooting. And this boy also threatened that the shooting would occur on Monday, December 6th. So the Owosso Police Department got several reports of a social media post from this boy, these threats. And in fact, they have been investigating several threats made towards local schools in the past week. And they're planning, you know, they've been investigating, and they will arrest them and make charges for some of them. Now, Pennsylvania. Okay, so that was Michigan. Now we go to Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, there were two teens charged in a trespassing case who were in the planning stage of a school shooting. In other words, these two students, Logan Pringle and Preston Heinbaugh. Logan was 17 and Preston was 16. And they were thought to be in the planning stage of a school shooting, the school being Westmont Hilltop High School. And they were found trespassing. But it seems as though they were not just idly trespassing, but particularly looking, casing the school for how to commit their attack. They've been charged as adults with multiple felonies, including conspiracy to commit terrorism. And the two guys are kind of interesting. Pringle, he gained access to the school. He had been told never to come to that school before, but he got in the school because Heinbaugh, it's easier. Preston Heinbaugh opened the door. He let him in through the front door. Very, very good security there. They said he couldn't come into the school, but then his friend lets him in the front door. No staff noticed. And surveillance video shows the two of them wandering the halls of the school and looking at the camera location. So they were looking to see where they would be caught on surveillance cameras if they came back and did a school shooting, which indeed it does seem like they were planning. So Pringle told the police, quote, that he, quote, didn't think it would be that easy to get back into the school. And then he left the building through a side door near the gym because he didn't want to get caught. Pringle, who's 17 years old, was not allowed to be on Westmont school property because he had made a prior threat. He had threatened to shoot up the school, and he was expelled, but that didn't stop him. Now we have Preston Heinbaugh, and I will stop here and rejoin Preston when we come back. And then we have Tennessee to go to, and then we're going to get to the answer, the question of why, and the question of what is terrorism. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking about, is ISIS behind the rise in school shootings? And I started out by giving you examples of the rise in at least wannabe school shootings that have happened since the November 30th real school shooting in Michigan. And so a lot of these are copycats. A lot of these, you know, people might well have planned to shoot up their school, even if Ethan Crumbly hadn't done that for his. So let's see. I was talking about the school in Pennsylvania where Logan Pringle and Preston Heimbaugh were caught walking around the school in a planned, checking out the school, casing it for their future planned school shooting. So Preston they got a search warrant for their homes, and in Preston Heimbaugh's home, they found an AR-15 style firearm, and he admitted to possessing the weapon without his parents' knowledge. Then they got another warrant, and they came back and they found more guns. They found a total of 5 AR-15 guns, plus additional ammunition, and so on. And he had access and control to at least 2 of the weapons at different points in time. So he had a whole stock of weapons. And Preston had said he blamed Pringle. He said Pringle was obsessed with guns and had previously made firearm parts while attending a local vocational school. Nothing like learning how to make firearm parts in vocational school, right? But Heimbaugh, who's the one who has this whole stock or stack of guns, is blaming Pringle. Anyhow, fortunately, they caught them both, and they're both caught charged with conspiracy to commit terrorism along with other charges, and they were taken into custody. Last but not least in my set of examples is a school in Tennessee, in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. 3 juveniles were charged with terrorism after making social media threats at Oak Ridge High School. This is just December 6th. Everybody was on the same wavelength. There were 2 separate hoaxes. There were 2 students who were connected to a social media shooting threat they made on Monday, December 6th for Oak Ridge High School, and it caused the school to go on lockdown. And then a 3rd student, a separate student, was responsible for a separate threat to the high school made on Tuesday night. So the school went on lockdown, and these 3 juveniles were charged with terrorism as well as threat of mass violence on school property and false report. And 2 of them were also charged with conspiracy. And let's see. So the Oak Ridge, this is good. The Oak Ridge school sent out a message to all families saying the actions of the 3 students caused major disruption to school with the intent to create fear and cause school closures. They said the positive news is that none of these students had access to weapons, nor did they have plans to harm students or staff. Their sole purpose was to disrupt classes, create fear, and cause a school closure. Well, now terrorists, radical Islamist terrorists, want to cause fear and terror, but they want to do it for Allah, not just to have fun, not just to create fear or terror. That is not the point of terrorists. They try to, of radical Islamist terrorists. They are doing it because they are driven by this religious philosophy, this misinterpreted religious philosophy. So they're saying that the school district is saying that because of the mental anguish caused by these incidents, that's why they're charging them with terrorism. Okay, so now let's go to the second part of this, which is the why. And also it relates to ISIS. So why? Why are there school shootings in general? In the prior podcast, I talked about how Ethan Crumbly was the poster child or perfectly fit the profile of a school shooter. And some of this has to do with parents who are abusive or neglectful, a child with psychological problems who either didn't get any treatment or got insufficient treatment. Also learning problems. Also they were victims of bullying. They were obsessed with video games. All the major school shooters that we know about have been obsessed with violent video games. Now, there is also the pandemic plays a big role in this, an added role, because not going to school to the extent that kids were in lockdown and or not allowed to go to school even after some lockdowns, school is somewhat normalizing. It gets them into a routine that they're not in, that, you know, they're held to a responsibility, which they're not held to when they're just learning by Zoom. No one is standing over their shoulder, even though parents should be. But for the most part, no one is standing over their shoulder making sure they're even paying attention to the Zoom, no less doing all their homework. And so school is normalizing in the sense of getting them into this routine, giving them tasks to do, and that schools also will often detect abuse that's happening at home and report it and get the kids help. Not enough, not half the time, but certainly they save some kids. It's gotten a little overwhelming. Teachers aren't supposed to, it's not really their responsibility, it's the parents' responsibility. Being in school brings socialization with friends and sports, all of these outlets for kids. So not having that, what have caused kids, I mean, the key thing is when they don't have all these other things to do, they're at home playing violent video games. And that is the key to why there is going to be more school shootings, actual shootings, not just wannabes, in the future, because of all the hours. Now, I know, you know, I have been talking about violent media for years and gone up against the violent video game makers and testified before Congress 3 times about the violent, how violent media causes violence. And I'm not the only one who knows this. I mean, there have been research studies done for decades that show that the more hours of media violence that you consume, whether it's television or movies or particularly video games, because you get involved in actually the shooting or the knifing or whatever the violence is. I have been attacked by gamers. My Amazon, I've been Amazon bombed, it's called. My books on Amazon have been given bad reviews before the people could have even gotten the books. And I just found out just recently that I've also been, bombed, so to speak, on Wikipedia. I just discovered that there's a whole paragraph, I'm gonna have to deal with this, but haven't been able to have the time to do it yet, but there's a whole extra paragraph bombing me on Wikipedia. So even though it is at great peril, literally great peril, because sometimes I get emails from some gamers saying, yes, we believe that violence causes, that violent video games cause violence and cause rape. So come to my house and we will rape you or kill you or various other kinds of lovely violent scenarios. In any case, I'm not going to stop talking about it because it is true and because I am concerned about this increase in violence, not only in America, but it has spread to the whole world, our exporting of these violent video games. I mean, other countries export them as well, like China. What a coincidence, the same country that brought you the Wuhan virus. Getting back to school shooters. So these are some of the reasons why we have school shooters. Interestingly, there are some parallels. The UK has just put out a report about how they have a record number of children in Britain arrested over terror offenses. So it's in parallel, and they talk about how this is related to the lockdown. The pandemic-related school closures, because of the schools normalized not being available to kids to normalize behavior, and also loneliness. They talk about the loneliness because of lockdowns. I mean, we're having the same thing. And the fact that in this loneliness, kids turn to online and they are able to read extremist material. They're talking about the real terrorists in the UK. They're not in this particular study, they're talking about real terrorists, kids. More kids have been arrested over real terror offenses. I want to make that clear. I'm not talking about school shootings in regard to the UK. This is about terrorists. And I'm saying that there is a parallel between the increase in kids who are becoming radicalized online to the increase in American kids who are becoming radicalized, so to speak, by violent, not radicalized to become not radicalized to become radical Islamist terrorists, although that is certainly happening too. But there's a parallel between school shooters becoming violent because of all the hours of violent media, violent video games and so on. And it's in parallel to kids becoming radicalized, really radicalized to become terrorists. I mean, the irony or the difficulty in explaining this comes from the fact that the school shooters are being called terrorists. But anyhow, here we go with, I'm going to give you a little tease now about what we're going to be talking about next and how I relate this to, is ISIS behind the rise in school shootings? There is overlap. I mean, the reason why it's a little hard to explain so clearly is because there is overlap. Not just because kids are being called, school shooters are being called terrorists or being charged with terrorism offenses, but because violence, because there is a mixture online of both radical Islamist propaganda that kids, not only in the UK, but all over the world, including in America, have been spending time watching. And have been affected by, and we're going to be seeing the results of that. But in the meantime, ISIS and Al Qaeda and the Taliban this has been a heyday for them for recruiting real terrorists now. It's hard to, real terrorists who have come to the Middle East or who are planning attacks here or in Western Europe. And now the connection is ISIS behind the rise in school shootings. Going back to that, I'm going to be talking to you next about TikTok. ISIS is using TikTok to recruit young suicide bombers in a bid to carry out Christmas attacks. Bum, bum, bum. Not really, this is not... not funny. In fact, this actually came out before the Oxford High School shooting in Michigan. This report came out in November because this happens every year where the terrorist organizations try to recruit, especially before Christmas and New Year's, the holidays, to make terror attacks. So when we come back, I will tell you about TikTok and terrorism and also get into what is terrorism. Should we be calling what these school shooters are doing or planning on doing terrorism? So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking about, is ISIS behind the rise in school shootings? Now, I promised you TikTok. Okay. So, now, well, let me tell you first of all about what's happening on TikTok, and then we can look at this very sort of muddy issue, this very confusing issue. Are the kids the same kids who would be inspired by what's happening on TikTok? Are those the same kids who would shoot up a school? Does the violence of video games overlap with TikTok or overlap with overlap with other propaganda from terrorist organizations like ISIS? Well, let me start start with TikTok. Okay, so there has been a recent investigation. This is came out, as I said, in November, where there are dozens of accounts on TikTok posting ISIS propaganda and inciting hatred against non-Muslims. So, and this, at least one of the accounts has been operating for 18 months. I mean, there are always these accounts. You know, TikTok, of course, hurry up, you know, they try to deny that they're doing anything bad. But and remember, who owns TikTok? The communist China. Okay, so there are a lot of bad things happening on TikTok, but right now we're talking about terrorism. Okay, so one of the videos that were posted on TikTok urges supporters to launch mass casualty terrorist events during the Christmas holidays. I mean, that's basically what all of them, but the one that they're talking about here, I'll describe in more detail, but really all that's what all of them connected to the holidays are doing. So one of them has a moody background and moody background sounds, and they start by describing Christmas as, quote, the celebration of the non-Muslims and crusaders. Quote, they do not believe in Allah and they make fun of the sacred. They are shaitan, which means devil, slaves. They are slaves of the devil. If you don't believe in Islam, you're a slave of the devil. So the people who believe, in any case, in Christmas are slaves of the devil. So they have scenes of Christmas markets and celebrations. And then there's a narrator who says, prepare yourself, O soldier of Allah, to shed the blood of these kafar, the non-believers. It calls for people to become suicide bombers. They say, enter the crowds disguised in their clothes. They tell wannabe terrorists to bring hidden explosives to, quote, explode it and plant panic and terror in their hearts. The one example that they're talking about that's been operating for 18 months has been watched by thousands of people. Then there are dozens of ISIS accounts on TikTok, probably even more than that, but dozens that they have found right now, including a woman in a burqa who posted a surveillance video of buildings and structures in Germany with a caption that said, quote, may Allah accept you into paradise. What does that mean? It means may you become a suicide bomber. The video starts with an electronic beeping noise, which is supposed to be the beep of the bomb, and then the sound of police sirens. And this woman's biography online says, quote, a lion fights for its prey until it has it and turns its enemies into its flock. So it's saying that the non-believers are the enemies of terrorists, but then the idea is to turn these enemies into suicide bombers, into terrorists themselves, you know, to recruit people. They're trying to particularly recruit impressionable young people. They call them clean skins, and they want them to carry out suicide bombings in Europe, of course, also in America. I did a previous podcast, not the last one, but in a previous one before that, I talk about the bedroom radicals. Which means the people, not just kids, but people who have been spending time in lockdown and spending a lot of time online and reading terrorist propaganda and who are now waiting to pounce. In Italy, in Milan, they said they arrested a 19-year-old woman. Again, women, more women are, this is an equal opportunity. Terrorism is an equal opportunity. Well, I mean, terrorists, it's really kind of ironic because although terrorists, we all know, put women down and are kill women and do all these kinds of horrible, whereas we're seeing in Afghanistan doing all these horrible things to women. On the other hand, women who want to become terrorists, they're somehow allowing them, they're open to that. Many different kinds of jobs, actually, for women, either, on the front lines or in managerial positions or making babies who become terrorists and so on. Anyhow, so in Milan, they arrested a 19-year-old woman on suspicion of involvement in international terrorism. They found on her phone that there were videos of beheadings and other material produced by ISIS. Plus, on the phone, there's a photo of a young man who is believed to have blown himself up outside Kabul airport in August, killing 183 people, that man. Now, TikTok, of course, declines that they have any role in this, right, responsibility. A TikTok spokesperson said, quote, TikTok's community guidelines categorically prohibit violent extremist content on the platform. We do not allow people to use our platform to threaten or incite violence or promote terrorist organizations. Any accounts found to be in violation of this will be removed immediately. Except for the one that was on for 18 months. Okay. Now let me talk to you about the whole issue of what is terrorism in terms of what's going on today. So we have Ethan Crumbly, who has been charged with terrorism. We have the wannabe terrorists who made threats that they were going to attack schools, shoot up schools, and they've been charged with terrorism. And so the question is this terrorism? It was terrifying. What Ethan actually carried out, killing four people and injuring many others, is being called terrorism, is being charged with terrorism. But is this really putting out a fundamental misunderstanding of terrorism? This is Ethan Crumbly. He is the first person to be charged with terror charges. It's the first school shooter, I should say, to be charged with terrorism. Despite the hundreds of students shot and killed in the U.S. over the last few decades, with all these other school shooters haven't been charged with terror except Ethan Crumbly. And as I talk about in my prior podcast about Ethan Crumbly, the prosecutor has explained why she charged him with terrorism by saying that she wanted it wasn't just the people who were killed and injured who were damaged, but the other students were traumatized by him. So, that's one argument for it. There is conflict, legal experts aren't sure about all of these different terrorism charges for school shooters. There's a lot of controversy right now. But even though these people were terrorized, but if we start calling everybody or every incident or every perpetrator of an incident that terrorizes people a terrorist, are we not watering down the word terrorism and taking away attention from real radical Islamist terrorists? Now, I'm certainly not in any way condoning school shooters. I mean, that is horrible. And yes, they should be punished. And yes, perhaps severely punished, especially when they kill other children. But is what happens when you call them terrorists? And it's also very confusing because different states have different laws about terrorism in their own separate laws about it, because there is no federal law about terrorism. So this is a real conundrum. Now, the U.S. Code, talking about federal law, the U.S. Code of Federal Regulations describes terrorism as, quote, the unlawful use of force and violence against person or persons or property to intimidate or coerce a government, the civilian population, or any segment thereof in furtherance of political or social objectives. Now, these school shooters do not have any social or political objectives. They're just angry because they have had a miserable life, because they've been neglected and or abused by their parents. They've been bullied. They're lonely. They're depressed. They may have other mental illnesses. That is why they do it, not because they believe in Allah or because they have any other political or social objectives. So there's no federal statute on terrorism, as I said. Now, even, it does, that's different than saying, does a school shooter create terror amongst the students, the other students? And amongst the community, yes, of course. If you look at internationally, there are 100 different definitions of terrorism around the world. So you can really get yourself particularly confused. But I think, Timothy, what's kind of ironic is that Timothy McVeigh, who is the most infamous domestic terrorist in American history, never faced terror charges for the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing, although he is still considered the most infamous domestic terrorist. So how's that for even confusing us more? why do we have to call what the school shooters do, why do we have to charge them as being terrorists? And if we do charge school shooters with terrorism, I mean, there's even more people who should be. I mean, when you look at, and again, I talked about this in a few podcasts ago. I did a whole podcast on calling PTA moms domestic terrorists. That's Biden. I mean, here's the whole thing. You know, Biden is propagating the idea of basically not only calling PTA moms, that was recent, but really he's been calling anybody, and he has been promoting this, to call anybody who disagrees with his political ideas domestic terrorists. So we have a whole problem. I mean, school shooters is just now another category of quote-unquote domestic terrorists, where, you know, and the point of that is, well, there are a number of points, but the main point is to distract from radical Islamists, and we are dropping our guard, and with Afghanistan becoming a hotbed for all kinds of terrorists, the Taliban and ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and with the Afghans, who are 82,000 of them, who have been brought into the United States, including many jihadists amongst them because they weren't vetted, this is not a time to be taking our eyes off the ball and pretending that, you know, that radical Islamists, terrorists, are just as dangerous to our country as a school shooter. I mean, yes, you know, none of them, they're all dangerous. But it is a much wider, the scope of the problem is much wider, as we will soon see, than the individual school shooters. But now, what about if you're going to be expanding the word, you know, the definition of terrorists, then what about the looters? And what about the rioters? In fact, we have the sheriff, the president of the National Sheriff's Association, is calling for more federal funding for law enforcement because of all of the looters. He made this statement. quote, if they can make the Harper Valley PTA mom a domestic terrorist, then why can't they determine that these roaming retail criminal groups, are not domestic terrorists as well, and put the power of the federal government behind these individuals, so when they're caught, they face stiff penalties, and if they use a gun, that's even stiffer. They don't get bail, they stay in jail, and the penalty and the consequences would be off the chart. That would stop a lot of that activity. And right now they do get bail, and they don't stay in jail. But he makes the point for looters and or rioters. So, you know, I mean, there are a lot of things to be terrorized about in today's world, unfortunately. Maybe we need to call the coronavirus a terrorist. I mean, I'm bringing it to the point of absurdity to make the point that we have to be careful that, yes, these various other kinds of groups, not the parents, but, you know, the looters and the gangs and the rioters are definitely promoting terror. But we really have to, you know, we really have to keep things that they're not after. I guess you could argue that the rioters are trying to promote a particular socio-political point. So I guess we could maybe put them aside. But certainly even the looters are in a way trying to promote a certain socio-political ideal. But again, going back to school shooters, they are not. They are just kids in need of severe help and punishment, but do we call them terrorists? Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism4kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.